Who are you? How would you describe yourself? If someone asked you, "Who are you? Tell me about yourself," what do you say? How do you express your identity, who you are? Perhaps you talk about vocational matters, or your work, or your career. Maybe you talk about interests you have, hobbies, gifts, talents, particular way you spend your time. Maybe you talk some about your history, your family, where you come from, your lineage. Maybe something about your past. If you're like me, though, you probably don't often answer the question immediately by saying who you are not. I am not so-and-so. And yet that's exactly what happens in today's gospel. The authorities send representatives to question John the Baptist. Who are you? By whose authority are you doing these things? And John answers not with who he is, but first, who he is not. I am not the Messiah. They ask, are you Elijah? I am not Elijah. Are you the prophet, perhaps meaning Moses? I am not the prophet. I can almost hear them getting exasperated. Well then, who are you? Tell us about yourself. And still, he doesn't answer directly. He quotes the prophet Isaiah, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. John's mission, John's ministry, the call that John the Baptist has is not about himself. It's not about his identity. It's not about who he is or what great things he can do. It's about his mission to prepare the way of the Lord. He has come as that forerunner, as John's gospel tells us, to testify to the light. This passage is part of the prologue of John, that beautiful language which echoes the beginning of the Bible, that first chapter of Genesis. In the beginning was the Word that existed before all else, that Word that is God, that was with God, through whom all created things were made, through whom light itself was created. That light is coming into the world. And John is there to testify to that light, to testify to the Word incarnate, that Word of God coming into our midst. Everything about John the Baptist points to Jesus and not to himself. John is in fact witnessing that the light that is coming is so strong that the sin and the evil and the brokenness of the world cannot contain it and cannot extinguish it. And so John has come to the River Jordan where he is baptizing. John's gospel doesn't say much about his role as baptizer, but the other gospels tell us he is there baptizing for the repentance, for forgiveness of sins. And that call to repentance, that call to forgiveness, in the Greek is actually the word metanoia, which is more than just being sorry for something you've done and trying not to do it again. Metanoia is about turning around, going to a new direction, turning from those things which separate us from the love of God. It's turning our being towards God. That's what John is all about. Turning to a new direction so that God is the focus and the center and the purpose of our lives. Everything we do and say, all our actions are rooted in God. Raymond Brown, who is now deceased but was a scholar, biblical commentator working in the New Testament, written extensively about both infancy narratives as well as John's gospel, has this to say about the passage in Isaiah that John the Baptist quotes. This passage in Isaiah originally referred to the angels making a superhighway in the desert for Israel to return from exile in Babylon. John the Baptist is preparing a road for God to come to God's people. His baptizing and preaching in the desert was opening up the hearts of people, leveling their pride, filling their emptiness, and thus preparing them for God's intervention. This call to repentance of John the Baptist is preparing that way by turning the people, moving their hearts, opening them to God, removing their pride, and ultimately filling their emptiness. A superhighway for God to come in, a God of love and transformation. Advent is the season where we are given this gift of waiting for God to come among us, for God to act, for God to transform the world through Jesus Christ. We long for, we pray for, we hope for the metanoia of the nations and of all peoples, of you and of me. And heaven knows the world is in desperate need of this transformative love of God. Not to recite a depressing list just for the sake of reciting it, but I'm struck this Advent by the ways in which our world is seeming to be in such desperate situation. Throughout the world, we have war and violence, oppressive regimes. In the Middle East, people are being killed for their faith. Christians who have lived in places for two millennia are being killed and driven out. Around the world, there's crushing poverty, economic injustice, injustice which is only growing wider. In our own nation, we are seeing boundaries, divisions around race and class, with violence erupting around them, and no easy answers to move towards justice and reconciliation. And then just this week, the Senate released a report on CIA use of torture to keep us safe. And of course, this is the second anniversary of the shooting in Sandy Hook. Gun violence rampant in our nation, where innocent people lose their lives, including children. All these things cry out for God to act. We need that transforming love of God. And then additionally, this season itself, which can be one of such hope and joy, is for so many a difficult time. There are expectations of joy, perfection, things being just right. Life isn't always like that. It's also a time when those who are no longer with us are sorely missed. There can be such sadness and despair in this season of hope. And so it is, I think, the world is in need of God's intervention, of God's transforming power. Today's lesson is from Isaiah chapter 61, a different chapter than John the Baptist is quoting. But this chapter is all about that promise to the people, the promise of the people who have been exiled, who have been carried away from their homeland, whose temple has been destroyed. The promise is that God is restoring them to their land. God's salvation will indeed transform the world. They will go home, and their homeland will be rebuilt. Now, we, in this time and place, hear the word salvation, and I suspect for most of us, we think about getting to heaven as the definition of salvation. But for Isaiah, salvation is defined as God's salvation in the here and now, God's transforming love of life now, in this place and in this time. Salvation reflects God's desire for humanity. And so Isaiah, in today's lesson, promises good news of healing, of liberty, of release of captive, of comfort. The city that has been destroyed will be rebuilt and restored. Creation itself will flourish. The garden will be abundant. The nations will see God's salvation poured upon the people. And then the people will turn to God. And in turning, other nations will notice that they are turning to God. They will see God's salvation poured upon them. And through that witness, other nations will come to know God and to worship God. And so on this third Sunday of Advent, I think that we are called, both like John the Baptist and like the ancient people of Israel, to be a witness to God. We're called to witness to that Word coming into the world, that eternal Word made incarnate in Jesus. We're called to witness to that light of God, to reflect that light into a world that knows much hurt and brokenness and sin. And we do this when we care for those that Isaiah tells us are the recipients of the good news of God, those who are oppressed, who are brokenhearted, who are captives, who are prisoners, and those who are mourning. And our witness happens when, in doing those things, other people see what we're doing, see that we are living differently, that we are a sign of God's blessing for this world. And living as people of good news, of justice, of liberation, through our witness in doing those things, others will come to know God. The good news of Advent is that God is coming to bring salvation to all people, to all who suffer. That God, who can build, how do I say this? God who can build up the ancient ruins, there we go. God who can build up the ancient ruins in the desert, can even redeem the sinfulness, the brokenness, the suffering of our present day. So on this Advent Sunday, I invite you to pray to God and ask, what can we, you and I individually, but also we as a parish, what can we do to be agents of God's reign? What is God calling us to do to usher in the good news of Jesus in the here and now? Isaiah opens with, the Spirit of the Lord is poured upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is poured upon us. What is that Spirit asking of us? What is the Spirit of the Lord calling us to do? How are we being called to make salvation known? May we, like John the Baptist, experience metanoia, turning our whole lives and beings towards God, repenting of whatever separates us from the love of God, and making God evermore the center of our lives. May we witness to the light coming into the world, the light that cannot be extinguished, the light that is stronger than sin and evil and despair. Amen.
Amen. Amen.